Bird Dog's khaki shorts are just like your mother. They'll wrap you up and keep you comfortable no matter where you are. Their zipper pockets will securely hold all your things. They'll fondle you with a love you thought only your mother was capable of. Oh, and don't worry. These shorts won't call you a disappointment. You might even start to love Bird Dogs just as much. If you want to experience motherly love again, hurry to birddogs.com/MLB and buy a pair. They're selling out quickly, but they'll throw in a free Bird Dogs tumbler if you get there on time. That's birddogs.com/MLB.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
Hola! Happy Thursday! Up and at 'em, peeps. Up and at 'em. We got stuff to talk about. We got some major news. And if you're waking up at this hour, 5 o'clock Eastern time zone, 4 o'clock in the Central time zone. I'm headed for the Central time zone in a few hours. Can't wait to get there. Really excited about the heat index of 120 in Houston. That's going to be fantastic. Actually, here's my thing. If I could just get to Houston on Thursday evening, I will not complain. Do you believe me? If I could just get there, I won't say one word about the heat. Dear Lord, if you could just get me to Houston on time, I swear I will not complain about the heat or the humidity even one time.
It's so damn hot.
Nope, I won't say that. I will not say one word about how hot it is unless someone else brings it up. I can't help it if other people bring it up in conversation. Can I? Nope. But I will not complain. Every time someone brings up the weather, I will say this. Oh, this heat is glorious. I love it.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Why are you being a jerk in there?
That's hot.
Where's Paris Hilton? Was it Paris Hilton who dropped the "that's hot"?
Oh, she trademarked that,
that's
I believe.
That's right. Okay, so that's what I need. I'm going to go Paris Hilton on everybody's butt. That's hot. I'm all about it. Just if I could just get to Houston on time and not miss my connection in Dallas, if my flight cannot be delayed by severe weather out of Newark, of course, there has to be potential for severe weather today, I will not complain. It's a deal I'm making with you, Lord. If you could, with the air, are there such things as airplane gods?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, airplane gods. So I need to pledge to the airplane gods?
Yeah.
Or just God that I will not complain about the weather even one time. From now until Tuesday, I will not complain about the weather. Do you believe me?
I believe you if you get there.
Wow, there's a bit of a hesitation.
If everything goes smoothly, I believe that you will.
Yes, yeah. I will keep my promise.
But if there's a delay on the tarmac or any sort of mechanical issue,
as long as I get to Houston, Thursday night,
that's it.
I'm good.
Okay,
that's all I need. I just need to get to Houston on Thursday night.
I think if there's any sort of,
I've got an appointment tomorrow. I have to be there.
I think if there's any sort of inconvenience along the way, you have a little bit of right to.
Nope. I'm telling you right now, not one peep about the heat, the humidity, or anything else. If I get to Houston by Thursday night,
do you know if you have your TSA pre-check ready?
I haven't received the number yet, so I don't have it yet. But I may have it on the way home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I should have it by next week when I'm traveling back. All right.
That's good.
I feel like that's a fair deal.
Hey, it's out there.
No, it's out there in the universe.
The airplane gods have heard you.
What? Did we just create airplane gods?
They exist. They're very fickle, but.
All right, Jay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Oh, so kind. A woman named Christy driving her Lyft and taking clients where they need to go. And she was listening to the show earlier and actually offered to give me a ride should I need it, should I get stuck in Dallas. I have a 90-minute connection. That's these days almost not enough. Because flights can be delayed. I generally do not stop in Dallas on my way to Houston, but I had a flight credit I had to use on American. Don't tell me. Okay, don't tell me if you have bad experiences with American. I can't hear about it right now.
I just took it, and I normally don't like that airline, but it was, you know, a couple of things here and there. But if we got there, we got back.
What did I just say? I don't want to hear.
We got there, we got back. Wasn't bad. Same day. So
same day. Anyway, I don't want to get stuck in Dallas, but if I have to get stuck somewhere, Dallas wouldn't be the worst thing ever. At least it's in the same state as where I'm headed. So thank you, Christy. That was very kind of you. I love that we have audiences in the great state of Texas, Dallas, and Houston. We now have a new Austin affiliate as well. So we've got affiliates all over what is the second largest state in the U.S. It's After Hours on our Facebook page as well. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Coming up, Jordan Love got some advice from Aaron Rodgers. Is that weird? A little bit weird. Maybe a little bit weird. Also, the Carolina Panthers have no qualms about their starting quarterback. Derek Carr, he's so happy. I'm glad because it was weird that Derek wasn't happy for about 3-4 weeks there. And we didn't hear from him at all.
I'm just pissed off.
Okay. I'm trying to be serious here. And then Sam Howell, the newly anointed QB1. It's just, I'm sorry. Maybe this is the point at which the Commanders turn over a new leaf at quarterback.
I'm fired up about that. I am.
But it just feels like the next chapter in the Commanders' QB issues. Just cycling through. Like some people go through coffee cups. Nah, let's see. Like, that's not quick enough. Like some people go through bags of potato chips. That's what the Commanders are doing with their quarterbacks. Or if it's me, hint of lime Tostitos chips. That's me.
It sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Like some people go through the huge tubs of the huge tubs of popcorn at the movies. That's how the Commanders go through quarterbacks.
Free refills.
Many of these quarterbacks, they do not want to be refilled. They don't want their contracts to be refilled. Boom. Okay, so we'll get to QBs because we still got more to do. And also Joey Votto, like maybe you've never heard him before, but the news first from Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani is staying. He's staying put in Anaheim for now. That's the caveat, right? Because he will be a free agent at the end of the season. So he'll be able to walk anywhere he wants to go. He'll be able to take a ride on Easy Street to whatever franchise he chooses. It may be the Angels, though, if they can make the playoffs, and they are doubling down. Not only are they not selling Shohei Ohtani, they have pulled him off the market, right? So they were at least listening to offers from other teams. But they've let everybody know in Major League Baseball, this is confirmed by multiple sources, they pulled him off the trade market. So he will not be moved before next week's deadline. But it's not just that. This is going to sound awkward, but stick with me here. The Angels are not just not selling. They're actually buying. They aren't just not selling. It's just awkward. They're not selling. But in addition to that, they're buying. I like it better the other way. They're not just not selling. Maybe not the best English. It's a double negative, but you catch my drift. They're actually buying. One of the top available pitchers on the trade market, Lucas Giolito. The White Sox didn't want to lose him at the end of the year, and they are definitely not buying. They're definitely not part of a playoff race like the Angels fancy themselves part of, I would say, an outside shot at the AL West. Texas and Houston right now are battling back and forth. Angels are 7 out in their own division. They're 4 out in the wild card, which is doable. It's doable. Can you imagine the conversations in the front office? Is it doable? Yeah, it's doable. We got plenty of time. That's doable. So they go ahead and they get Lucas Giolito in a trade with the White Sox. In addition, they bring in a righty reliever. And this is due in large part to the fact that the White Sox pretty much realized that Lucas was going to go ahead and sign somewhere else at the end of the year. They wanted to get something for him. And their White Sox, their general manager, Rick Hahn, he had to tell Lucas that he was on the move.
Quite frankly, it was a...
mildly emotional conversation with Lucas a few moments ago, informing him of the trade. Obviously, given this club's performance over the course of the last several months, it's apparent that these type of moves have to take place, given where we're at and putting us in the best position we can be going forward. That said, obviously, Lucas's and Ronaldo's tenure with the White Sox is not ending in the way that we envisioned when we first acquired them. And I complimented both of them, not just on their performances on the field, but the players they were in our clubhouse and the way they represented them and themselves and this club off the field, which meant a great deal over their tenure.
Rick Hahn, the GM of the White Sox. So Giolito already off the market. I saw analysts and reporters for other teams. For instance, our friend Michael Duarte from NBC Sports LA, who covers the Dodgers. Lucas was a target of the Dodgers, but already gone. All, different part of LA. And so there were other teams that had their sights set on maybe getting Giolito in the fold, and instead Angels jump the gun. They get him. So they're doubling down. They're not selling. They're buying. Shohei stays. Giolito comes in at 29 years old. He is a guy that will help, should help, lower their collective ERA. Right now the Angels are bottom third of Major League Baseball when it comes to the ERA of their, I think it's their starting rotation. So they can definitely use the pitching help. I want them to make the playoffs. They're going to get Mike Trout back. Right? Both Trout and Shohei need to be on that October stage. They haven't made the playoffs since 14, but they haven't had a winning record since 15. It is time. We love the fresh blood. It's time. If the Phillies could do it last year, if the Padres could do it last year, well, the Angels, they've got some time left, some real estate left. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Women playing their second game at the World Cup. Team USA actually trailing for a good portion of the game against the Netherlands. And a little bit of extracurricular activity, if you will, between the captain, Lindsey Horan, and one of her Dutch, well, one of her club teammates who plays for the Dutch. So they end up, I don't know if you would call it a body check, a slide tackle, something like that. I mean, you could use all kinds of different phrases. It was a collision. There was no yellow card, no penalty, no nothing. But these two teammates, the club teammates, run into each other. Lindsey ends up on the ground for a bit, has to be attended to by athletic trainers. So it was a hard fall for her. She kind of fell on her back and maybe had the wind knocked out of her. So she was down on the ground for a bit, stays in the game. And then later, when they're into the second half, gets a little snippy. She and her Dutch teammate, or her Dutch club teammate, they are next to each other on the pitch. They kind of have another, I wouldn't really call it a collision, but they're in the same personal space. And Lindsey shoves her, actually. So there's a stoppage in play. As I say, extracurricular activity. And Lindsey's still fired up from what happened in the first half when she felt like she was fouled and her teammate hit her, club teammate hit her hard. So then they get into a bit of a jawing match before a corner kick for Team USA. In fact, Lindsey has to be kind of talked down by the referee and by her teammates, but clearly still really upset about what had happened in the first half. And I'm not sure there is a better way to answer back than what the captain of Team USA did on Wednesday night.
Me and Dan always go up against each other. It's a physical battle. I respect her so much because that's how it should be. It should be competitive at all times. So I think once we got into that tackle, all I wanted to do was score. Heat of the moment, I got a little pissed at her, but Rose put in an absolute dime, and I got on the end of it, and yeah, happy for the goal.
In swinging ball, headed down, tied at one! She did it, her run!
Lindsey Horan, frustrated by the moment. Well, she owns this one. Drives to that near post, full commitment. Glances that one into the near post by Van Domselaar. And we're knotted up 1-1.
Oh, yeah. Could you even draw it up any better than that? So Lindsey Horan ends up heading the corner kick in from her teammate, Rose Lavelle. It was perfect. Perfectly timed, perfectly placed. keeper had no shot. And that comes on the heels like seconds after she gets into a jawing match and shoves this Dutch player that she's familiar with. So kind of cool. Cool little gamesmanship. But what I was saying earlier is that is actually great for Team USA to get into the situation where they have to play from behind. Rather than running ahead, being able to take their foot off the gas, being by far the superior team on the pitch, it's good for them to face adversity and have to play from behind and not have everything come quite so easy for them. They actually were not the better team in the first half. They did have more shots on goal, but if you're watching the game, the first half, really the Dutch, they dominated possession. They were dictating, right? So they were able to keep the ball in the zone for longer stretches, and it felt like U.S. was kind of a step slow and a dollar short. That all changed in the second half, and they were able to dictate and had a lot more shots on goal. Good opportunities, just couldn't get more than one of them into the back of the net, but certainly feeling encouraged. Again, the fact that they had to play from behind and were able to force the draw is a big deal.
Coming back from being a goal down is huge, especially in this game, or obviously in this tournament. And I think that just speaks volumes of the players and the energy that we can bring in, the game changes that came in. I thought Rose elevated it when she came in as well. But that's what this tournament is about. You roll up your sleeves, you find your grit, and then you find your goals. I'm a little disappointed that we didn't find more than just one. But, you know, Netherlands is a good team. But, you know, we came out really, really strong in the second half, and I wish, you know, we found another in the back of the net.
That's veteran Julie Ertz. Yeah, it's group play. They're going to advance almost certainly. And even though they didn't come away with the win, just think for them to get pushed to the limit, have to dig down a little bit deeper against some of the better competition of the tournament is only going to be good for them once they get into the knockout stage. But don't mess with Lindsey Horan. Don't mess. Fox Soccer with the highlight as well as with Lindsey's comments. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Good to connect with you. Just not one complaint about the Texas Heat. I swear, not even one complaint. I will celebrate the Texas Heat. I will fake it as though I love the heat and the humidity.
It was fine.
It was totally fine. All right. I almost said the National League version. This is what happens when we cross seasons. The NFC version of QB news, because we've got some young QBs that are taking over atop the depth chart. Oh, and Aaron Rodgers has advice for Jordan Love. Advice. If you're Jordan Love, are you thinking, thank you, Aaron. Thank you for thinking of me.
The guy glows in the dark.
No, he doesn't. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on
Hi, my name is PJ Vogt. I host the podcast Search Engine, where every week I hunt down the answers to the questions I can't get out of my head. Like, why are drug dealers poisoning their customers with fentanyl? Or, is my local sushi restaurant a part of an international scam? Or how sad are the monkeys at the zoo? If you, like me, find this world bewildering, but also sometimes enjoy being bewildered by it, check out the show on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you listen.
Yes, Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hurry back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed.
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it! Touchdown, L.A.!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it!
Yes.
Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
It's QB News. Deuce. How do you say it in a different language? French. How would you say it in French?
Deux.
Deux. Deux.
Deux, deux, trois, right?
Dos. Don't ask me. I don't speak French.
I don't either.
Oh, it's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. We're heading to Houston coming up in mere moments here on CBS Sports Radio. But let's cram in some more QB news. A lot of new quarterbacks in the NFC, and that includes in Carolina, where head coach Frank Reich is anointing Bryce Young.
Yes, he's QB1. He is QB1.
That means a lot. That's a huge blessing. You know, I always trust the coaches, and I want to do everything I can to play whatever role it is that I'm called on to help the team. So, you know, that means a lot. And, you know, for me, it's doesn't change my approach. Make sure that I take things day by day. There's a lot that I want to grow, keep growing in, keep improving in, a lot to learn. And, you know, we're all in as a team in this together.
Frank Reich and the Panthers have that number one overall pick. They've now made him the starting quarterback. And Frank played the position when he was in the NFL himself, also coached it at Super Bowl championship with the Eagles. And he says, don't underestimate this young man.
Bryce will fool you now, you know, because he's got this quiet demeanor. But I like the way Scott said it. This is a grown man. This is a stinking grown man.
Stinking
and he's in control. He knows what he wants and how he wants it done. And I think that that's a good place to start from.
Oh, it's fantastic. He's a stinking grown man. Only Frank Reich is a special way of expressing himself.
Bryce will fool you now.
He's a stinking grown man. All right, so that's a new quarterback in the NFC South. Derek Carr, also a new quarterback in the NFC South. And he kind of likes this fresh challenge. And he's got to be a leader because he's the quarterback, but he's also new guy.
This is my first time stepping into a new, you know, organization, right? And so for me, I just was going to walk in and just I was just going to be myself, you know. And, you know, this is me. You know, this is, you know, what Mickey asked me to be. You know, he's not asking me to be anything I'm not. You know, Mickey, when he asked me, and DA asked me to be here, they said, we want you to come here and be you. That's all I've done. And it was an easy fit because I don't feel like I have to be the leader or I have to pull everybody. Like, it's not that. We got Cam. We got Tyron. We got DeMario. We got Mike. We got Alvin. Everyone's saying the right thing, the right things. Eric. We got so many guys doing and saying the right things that, you know, we're all doing it together.
Derek also talks about a really cute story about his daughter and how he's trying to get her to understand that they are no longer with the Raiders.
I just feel like a part of the family, you know. At first, my daughter was running out there today after practice, and she's like, touchdown Raiders. I was like, no, like, don't say that anymore. Yeah. So it was still new. You know, it's new for them, obviously. But to me, it just feels like home now. You know, this is my home. I'm going to give New Orleans everything that I have. And that's physically, mentally, in the community. Anything that I can do to help somebody and help us win and bring excitement to the city and, you know, help encourage some people in the city, I'm going to do it. And, you know, I've set out to do that in Vegas. I'm still doing that in Vegas because I said I would. You know, I'm still working on things there. I'm going to do it here because I said I would.
This could be exactly what the Saints need. The next iteration of the Drew Brees signing. I mean, how do you not root for Derek Carr? He was unceremoniously dispatched from the Raiders organization after everything that he gave them. And now he has a chance for a fresh start and he's embracing it. And he brings all that positivity, not to mention nearly a decade of experience. This could be exactly what New Orleans needs as its quarterback. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. NFC South is changing quarterbacks all over the place. We don't know if it's going to be Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask for Tampa Bay, right? So we've got a bunch of new faces at that QB1 position in the division. All right, well, we're talking about new quarterbacks. Sam Howell, he is tops on Ron Rivera's depth chart in Washington.
At this point, I have total command of the offense. You know, I think I've made a lot of I studied a lot this summer and trying to get really comfortable with the system, obviously because it's new, and just tying my feet into the concepts that we're running. And I feel like I've made a lot of progress in that area. So I'm excited to be here in camp and to have all the guys together and get an opportunity to prove that.
Three things we know about this offseason. Actually, four. Quarterbacks have gotten paid. Aaron Rodgers is in New York, and we haven't stopped talking about it. The Commanders, to a man, love Sam Howell. There isn't one person who will tell you anything except this guy's a future Hall of Famer or something like that. And then in Green Bay, Jordan Love, he is ready to assume the position. And actually, Aaron hasn't forgotten about him, even though he's now in New York.
Aaron reached out to me last night, and yeah, he said, just be yourself, have fun, enjoy it. You know, it's obviously my time now, and he just said, you know, be yourself. And I mean, that's all you can do. You know, that's kind of been the message from everybody is, you know, be yourself. Don't try and be anybody else. Don't try to be Aaron, things like that. Just be yourself, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do.
If it were all about the preseason narrative and rhetoric, no doubt Sam Howell and Jordan Love would be competing for MVP in December. I'm telling you, to a man, the Commanders and the Packers, their locker rooms, they are all in on these quarterbacks. I can't wait to see what happens. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Jordan Love's been there for multiple years. They knew, he knew he'd likely have to sit behind Aaron for a bit, and he thinks that's helped him.
Obviously, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with the position. But yeah, you know, like you say, the eyes being on you, that's something that, you know, I'm working on right now, just trying to block out. I'm just trying to have my focus be on what I'm working on that day, what I'm focusing on that day, so I can have all my focus on that, just kind of block out any distractions.
Future Hall of Famer. They could have three Hall of Fame quarterbacks in a row. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love.
Don't make it up, okay?
It's fine. It's totally fine. Come on, admit it. You can't wait to see. After 3 years of hearing about it, you can't wait to see what Jordan Love does in Green Bay. I'm all about it. I can't wait to see what happens in Green Bay post Aaron Rodgers. All right, one more. Daniel Jones, among those QBs that got paid this season this offseason for the bargain basement price of, what was it, $40 million per year? That's it? That's it? Come on now. Anyway, he is thrilled that one of his top offensive linemen just got a new extension. Oh, yes, you need Andrew Thomas on that wall. You want Andrew Thomas on that wall.
I'm extremely happy for him happy for myself also. He's a tremendous player. He's a tremendous player. He goes about it the right way. He works his tail off.
What? Not going to say anything about my movie reference? Come on. Nothing? It's fine, Jay. It's okay. I finally pulled out this incredible movie reference, and Jay's got a blank stare on his face.
Must have missed it.
Oh, my gosh. And I thought we spoke the same language.
Oh, man, I'm upset now because I love movie references.
Oh, nope. It's too late. Over your head. All right, coming up next, we booked this guest before DeAndre Hopkins blew him up on Twitter. I swear. In fact, producer Jay has the text to prove it because after he had booked Sean Pendergast in Houston, he gets a text from Sean saying, oh my gosh, DeAndre Hopkins just, what'd he say? He bombed me? He blasted me?
He came after me.
He came after me. Uh-huh. Can't wait to hear this story. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Blitz, quick throw to the left side, caught by Hopkins at the 10, slips a tackle, runs left to the 5, into the end zone for the touchdown. Wow, DeAndre Hopkins broke a tackle. It looked like he was dead to rights, but he spun out of there, hits pay dirt.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Nah, DeAndre Hopkins doesn't play for the Houston Texans anymore. He actually doesn't play for the Arizona Cardinals anymore. He is newly signed with the Tennessee Titans, but we are so calculated and cunning here on After Hours. Dave Pasch with the call on the Cardinals Radio Network, even as we welcome our guest, our friend from Houston, Sean Pendergast, who's co-host of Payne and Pendergast, weekday mornings on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Sean, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Amy. How are you? It's been a while. How you doing?
We're good. I want the world to know, we booked you for the show before you became the latest viral trend on Twitter. Fantastic.
Yes.
So
yes,
good.
I got a text from James last, like probably like yesterday evening, you know, mm-hmm. like got done eating dinner, settled in to watch the Astros get taken to the woodshed by the Rangers, and I'm just sitting there watching the game, and James is like, hey, Texans training camp, Astros, you want to come on and talk a little with Amy? And of course, the answer is always yes, I'd love to. Yeah, and then 2 hours later, my social media world got turned upside down by DeAndre Hopkins.
All right, so I have to ask, for people who don't know, you tweeted about rare footage of DeAndre Hopkins practicing. Were you being snarky? Were you being serious? Where did that tweet come from?
A total snark. Just trying to be funny. You know, I don't think it's a secret in Houston or Arizona, for sure. Definitely not in Houston, because I think DeAndre's practice habits were probably one of the reasons why Bill O'Brien traded DeAndre Hopkins 3 years ago. DeAndre never practiced. Bill O'Brien didn't like it. I don't even have an issue with DeAndre not practicing. He's an amazing player. It was an incredible player here in Houston. It was just a playful jab at DeAndre Hopkins, you know, just having some fun on Twitter. And as you said, it was a picture of him just kind of getting into like a stretching line or something at Titans practice. And I said, yeah, rare footage of DeAndre Hopkins practicing. And I didn't tag him on it. A lot of times when you don't tag an athlete on something that you say like that, people are like, why don't you tag him on that? I'm like, because I'm doing him a favor. I don't need his he doesn't need his Twitter timeline blowing up with all the replies
right.
that I eventually got anyways because DeAndre Hopkins retweeted it.
Any idea how he saw it? Somebody must have pointed it out to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, here, DeAndre, and look, I really like DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's a great player. It was not personal or anything. It was just having fun on social media for my Twitter audience, which is, you know, literally like 6% the size of DeAndre Hopkins' Twitter audience. So I'm guessing two things. I'm guessing that he... And by the way, when I say he retweeted it with a comment.
Yeah,
which is
he
why
did.
It got all that. It'd be one thing if he retweeted it and just hit retweet, but he retweeted it with a very funny comment that I'll either, you know, you can read it or not read it. It's up to you, Amy. But I think as far as how he found it, normally I would say with somebody like DeAndre, like, yeah, somebody brought it to his attention. He does not follow me. Let me just be clear on that. He doesn't follow me on Twitter. With DeAndre, though, he gets up in his feelings a lot about stuff he sees. He takes a lot of stuff. I don't know if he takes it personal, but he goes out of his way to see it because he is the rare lion that will go fighting the sheep on Twitter. And I'm being self-deprecating here. And so he may be one of those guys that searches his name, but it got enough run even before DeAndre saw it that it probably floated across his timeline in some sort of way, I would guess.
So you're saying he is the NFL version of Kevin Durant?
He absolutely is. I got that comparison from a lot of people.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. He's. I don't think he's got as big a following as KD. You know, KD is, you know, he's global. DeAndre's really good. DeAndre's got, I think, 717,000 Twitter followers is what I saw last night. You know, KD, I'm guessing, is well into the millions in followers. But, yes, he does definitely have that KD trait where – he'll just get in the muck with anybody on Twitter over stuff that they say about him.
He quote tweeted with this comment, just buy my jersey for your wife at this point. I'm sure she's tired of hearing my name in your sleep.
Yeah.
So you're telling me there's no history
bar.
There?
It really was. Let me just tell you, Amy, like, first of all, it was a clever barb. I think just as soon as he mentions my wife, people just stop reading the rest of the tweet and think that he implies he's sleeping with
yes.
my wife.
Yes.
I had to actually explain to a few people, like, no, what he's saying is that I'm the one dreaming about him, and my wife is hearing me say DeAndre's name. So I had to explain it to a lot of people, which was really frustrating. But it's funny because people are like, oh, how's your wife feel? I'm like, dude, I read it. She was sitting with me watching the Astros game. I read it to her 5 seconds after I saw it, and she cracked up. Like, what are we doing here?
Just out of curiosity, how long did the replies come in? For hours?
Yeah, they're still coming in. I just woke up to like 7 of them. Yes. they're absolutely still coming in. And this is where it's a really interesting experience. I know we'll talk about other stuff here in a second, but this is probably the most relevant thing going on my show today, honestly. I felt sorry for DeAndre Hopkins as I was reading the replies because DeAndre's barb was funny. The people who are taking up for DeAndre Hopkins, most of whom are Titan fans who, if I went and Googled hard enough, or searched on Twitter hard enough, I'd probably find plenty of things that they're saying about DeAndre Hopkins, you know, 3 years ago when he was on the Texans. They're all of a sudden they're big DeAndre Hopkins fans, even though he's had one practice with them. But I felt sorry for him because I'm like, man, because those people got way more personal than DeAndre. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about the lowest common denominator on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
They were getting way more personal, and they didn't know who I was until DeAndre retweeted me. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this is what DeAndre and these guys deal with on Twitter. Rest assured, DeAndre will drop a pass at some point, maybe. He rarely does, but maybe he will. And these same people will be coming after him. The same way they were coming after me. So my big takeaway was that I felt sorry for DeAndre Hopkins after it was over.
Oh, goodness. Funny stuff. Again, we booked Sean Pendergast on our show before
any of this
happened.
You're not a vulture. You and James are not vulturing my 15 minutes of relevance here.
We're not ambulance chasers. Yeah. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Good to have him back in the AFC South, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it makes it fun. You know, it's it adds some sauce to the two games that the Texans play the Titans this year. So that'll be fun. The Oiler jersey, which, you know, that's gotten a lot of traction over the last week or so down here, that the Titans are going to wear the Oilers jerseys in a couple of games. And I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that one of those two games is going to be week 15 against the Texans. So that'll be really cool. And, you know, seeing DeAndre in that Oilers uniform, a lot of Houstonians are up in their feelings about the Oilers jersey being unveiled, period. The fact that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be wearing them is going to be like a reminder of every bad thing that's happened in Houston. Not every, but two of the worst things that have happened in Houston football history, which is the Oilers leaving for Tennessee and DeAndre Hopkins getting traded for a second round pick. I was joking on the air. I'm like, man, all they need to do is bring out Jack Easterby to flip the coin before the game, and it'll be just the montage of all the bad things in Houston football the last two decades.
Oof. Sean Pendergast is with us before his morning show. No doubt plenty of chatter about D-Hop. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. What stands out to you at this point about new head coach D'Amico Ryans?
We knew D'Amico going in as a player, and we knew what his track record was in San Francisco as a coach. I just think the thing that's jumped out at me so far, nothing has surprised me about D'Amico Ryans. You know, so unlike the, you know, like when they hired David Culley 2 years ago, it's like, all right, I didn't even know who David Culley was until they hired him as a coach. So there was a lot of mystery involved. There's very little mystery with D'Amico Ryans. So I wouldn't say anything has surprised me. I think what's jumped out at me is the enthusiasm in town here for the Texans with hiring D'Amico Ryans. You know, I have no idea how good a head coach he'll be. If he's as good a head coach as he was a coordinator, there's some really good things coming up in the next few years for the Texans, because he was a really good coordinator, and he's just a great guy. I mean, he's a great person. So there's tremendous enthusiasm for the Texans in town, which there has not been, I would say, really since probably a few years into the Bill O'Brien era. You know, Bill O'Brien kind of wore his welcome out here. So the last couple of years, you know, even when they were making the playoffs, there were a lot of people who were kind of having to grit their teeth as the Texans were doing that, because O'Brien was not very popular. And then we know what the last couple of years have looked like here. So real great enthusiasm. The 8 open training camp practices for fans, whereas you couldn't give away tickets to them the last 2 years. They're sold out. You know, you can't get a ticket to the training camp practices. And I think C.J. Stroud has something to do with that as well. So I think it's the enthusiasm here, which we haven't felt in a long, long time.
What do you need to see from the Texans this season in terms of progress, in terms of wins, whatever the gauge is, to know that they're on the right track?
I think they definitely need to win more. It's one of those, like, they've been, you know, they won 3 games last year and 4 games the year before. I think it's going to be hard to come away from this season with them winning 3 or 4 games and saying, but we feel awesome about da 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 da. So I think they need to be more of like a 6 or 7 win team. I think Vegas has them at 6.5 wins. So that's kind of where they're being forecast right now. I don't think they need to compete for a playoff spot or anything for fans to feel good about the team going into next year. I think they need to jump up probably one notch in the, you know, in that tier of teams winning wise. They can't be one of the worst teams in football. They can be one of those teams, kind of like how people were feeling about, you know, the Lions going into last year, or, you know, maybe not to the extent of how people feel about the Jags going into this year, because the Jags won a playoff game. But I think, if between the team winning a little bit more, I think the defense needs to be at worst like a middle to upper middle of the pack defense, because that's D'Amico Ryan's forte, is the defensive side of the ball. So you got to feel good about the direction that's going. And I think a lot of it is going to be C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like C.J. Stroud is one of those young quarterbacks who, yeah, you went 6-11, but boy, he wasn't the reason. He was keeping you in games. He was making you competitive. He was better at the end of the year than he was at the beginning of the year. Then I think people will feel really good about the trajectory of this team in 2024. They've still got, even with the trade up to get Will Anderson, they still have a ton of draft capital. So they're in good shape.
Looking forward to it. I think there's a lot of attention on them because of Ryan's and obviously C.J. Stroud as well. But, yeah, got to see some progress. It's been a couple of bleak years there with the Texans. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Sean Pendergast, just about another 90 seconds or so. How confident are you that the World Series champions are going to be able to make a run here or start to surge through the rest of the back half of the baseball season?
Ask me in a week. Let's see what they do at the trade deadline. You know, seriously, like this. The most disturbing thing about this, and it sounds crazy to say because they're two games out of first, which they're not used to being even in, you know, they're usually well ahead of the rest of the division at this point in the year. It's amazing they're only two games out of first right now when you consider all the injuries that they've had, and not just the injuries. They were counting on Framber Valdez and Christian Javier to be the two hammers at the front end of the rotation, and they've both been terrible for since the middle of June, and Framber Valdez all of a sudden it's like Javier coughed on him or something like that. He was awful last night. So I think that's the big concern is the pitching. So I got to wait and see if Dana Brown, the new GM, makes a big move. But I'm not feeling good right now. You're not going to win in the playoffs winning games 10-9 all the time. That's how they're winning. Like when they are winning lately, they're either winning 10-9 or it's JT France, who wasn't even on the roster, going out and winning games. He's their best starting pitcher right now. And people are like, who? And I say, exactly.
I mean, Justin Verlander might be available.
We would love that. We would love that.
You can find Sean on Twitter at Sean T. Pendergast. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins did, so you can. S-E-A-N. He's getting set to do Payne and Pendergast on our Houston affiliate, Sports Radio 610, coming up 6 o'clock Central Time. Always good to catch up with you. You made us laugh last night. Thank you, Sean.
Oh, happy to do it. Good to talk to you, Amy. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Oh, I forgot to tell Sean, actually. I'm headed to Houston today. It's happening. So for that reason, I will not be with you on Thursday night into Friday morning. So enjoy your long weekend. Back with you come next Tuesday night. I'll miss you, kind of. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!